think that the first lesson.
Saying that, there were other sons of David who had a better claim on the throne than Solomon did. There was Absalom and Adonijah. Now, both of them made a play for the throne, but both of them failed. And Solomon was chosen. Now, I just wondered if Solomon, did he know about his family's secrets? And if he did, how did that shape his life? If you look at the birth line in Matthew of Jesus, you'll see that Solomon is in there. So I guess you'll know why Solomon was chosen over and above these other the other two. And also about that initial period in his life. I was quite interested in Nathan the prophet. So if you remember the story, Nathan, it was given to Nathan to go and tell David he'd been a bad lad. And that was his role. But then having said to David, listen, you're not doing right. You're out of order here. He also went to him and said, this son of yours, you're going to have to call him Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. So he had a bad thing to do and then he had a good thing to do. But a very difficult start to his life. But God can take something unseemly and turn it into something beautiful. So I guess the question for the first thing is, do you believe that God can do that for our lives? Just before David died, he said these words to Solomon. So be strong, show yourself a man, and observe what the Lord requires. Walk in his ways, and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements, so you may prosper in all you do. When I read that, I thought, I wish my dad had said that to me. That would have been great, wouldn't it? Point two. There's only six, so you'll know when we're getting to the end. Prayer can change your life. Shall I say that again? Prayer can change your life. When Solomon went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and asked him, "Whatever you want me to give you, I will give you." Solomon said, he replied, and he said, "Give me a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who could possibly govern this great people of yours?" This one prayer changed his life. Not only did he have the incredible experience of meeting with God, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody by saying, well, who else has had a personal meeting with God? Because it doesn't happen very often. In the Old Testament, there's only about 20-odd occasions that are recorded. So these things don't come around very often. So he was privileged. He had this meeting. God bestowed on him wisdom, discernment, but he also added both riches and honor, and to good measure. He also said you can have a long life if you followed God's ways. I think that's quite life-changing, isn't it? Do we believe that one prayer can change our lives? Maybe our prayer time would be different if we thought that. What do we ask of God? And do we trust him to answer? Now, if you think I'm going all prosperity gospel on you, I'm not. But in this one case, blessings were bestowed on Solomon. And we've read a bit about everything about Solomon's riches and his kingdom and everything about it. And it must have been some special place to be. Number three. God is honored by excellence. And Solomon did something that would be remembered. Both David and Solomon, they were given specific instructions to construct a temple for the Lord. And Solomon carried out these instructions to the letter. And both God and his people were honored by this beautiful place of worship. It wasn't a big temple. It wasn't grandiose. But it was excellent. It wasn't like all those other pagan temples, which were huge, great big things. But it was what God wanted. And if you read the story, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought to the finished temple, the priests and anybody else, they couldn't go in because the glory of the Lord filled that temple and nobody could get near it. What a sight that must have been. What I've learnt from this, that God doesn't necessarily ask us to do things in a big way, in a showy way, but he does ask us to do them excellently for his glory. So what do I mean by that? Well, it just means doing the things that you've been given to do to the best of your ability. Number four, true wisdom glorifies God. Let me just read this little passage. It's 1 Kings 4:29 to 34. It's talking about Solomon's wisdom. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the east, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, including Ethan the Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He described plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He also taught about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. Amazing. I've never heard of Ethan the Ezrahite or Heman, Chalcol, Darda. But we've all heard of Solomon, haven't we? Well, what is wisdom? Anyone like to hazard a guess? Shouldn't answer that. Should ask that, should I really? We're struggling. Knowledge. It's a bit more knowledge, do you think, isn't it? Wisdom. Good, Dave. You're good. Well, isn't it the ability to make good life decisions? Do we think that? Is that sort of an idea about what wisdom is? If we look at James 1, verse 5, it says that if anybody lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Making good, wise decisions, these glorifies God. But if you think about it, the reverse is also true. And I actually think if people see wisdom in you, they will come for guidance and advice. And there's an opportunity then for us to glorify God as a result. Now, I'm not saying we're all going to be as wise as Solomon, but I think making good life decisions, it is incumbent upon us. Now, whether that comes with age, I'm not sure. Number five. God appeared to Solomon a second time. He was lucky, wasn't he? God met him once in a dream. And then he met him again. Amazing. In the second time when God appeared to him, he said all the same things that he said to him the first time around, but he added a warning. He added a warning about what would happen if Solomon disobeyed, if he went his own way. I just think that God could actually see what was happening in Solomon's life, where he was leading. And he wanted to remind him of his calling, just to try and bring him back. Solomon, he had it all, didn't he? He had wisdom. He had riches. He had women. He had peace. He had acclaim. He had adoration. And yet, somehow, he used his resources to build temples for his wives, who were pagan in nature. So he did so much to the glory of God for so long. But then he started to move away. And what happened? Eventually, Israel turned its back on God. Was it this one event, or was it this series of events here that started that catalyst? I don't know. And here's what I think. It takes great integrity to handle success, our prosperity. And it's so easy that if we get to that position, I don't think I'm ever going to get there, which is great, that we need to pray that we don't forget God. You know, if you've got everything, sometimes there may be a tendency to think, well, I can do this all on my own. But this is a reminder that God's saying, well, you know, I gave you all this. You did this all for my glory. Don't forget that. You remain true. You remain sure to your calling. We need to remember, we need not to forget our need for God. Point six, last one. We need to finish well. Solomon, according to the Bible, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I'm not sure whether I want to congratulate him or commiserate with him. How on earth did he cope? I find having one wife more than enough. How on earth did he remember all their names? How did he remember when their birthdays were? It was a good job he was rich so he could buy more Christmas presents. Oh, we didn't celebrate Christmas then, did we? No. Blimey. No wonder he went mad. In Deuteronomy 17, it talks about the requirements that a king must have before they become king of the Israelites. And you can look that up later. And there is a little passage there, and it just talks about several things. So it'd be interesting reading for you when you get home. But actually, one of the verses in Deuteronomy 17, it mentions that a king should not take many wives or his heart will be led astray. Sadly, Solomon, and I bet he knew this, as he was a wise man and well-versed and all the rest of it, he forgot this wise counsel, and as a result, his head was turned. As Solomon grew older, his wives turned his heart to other gods, and he was not fully devoted to the one true God. And if you read the passages, he went after a couple of the dodgy ones, Molech and Ashtoreth. And even though God had appeared to him and warned him and said, you know, this is what's happening in your life, he still went down that route. I find that quite sad, really. If I thinking to myself, if God had appeared to me twice and being so real that it was like a conversation and telling me about, listen, you know, you're going to do this, just follow me. I think I would. You know, I just don't get it. I don't get it. It was a sad end to a magnificent life. We need to be careful, don't we, about our company to ensure that we're not turned from our faith. But over and above that, as we get older, we need to keep reminding ourselves who it is we worship and who has the meaning to our life. Solomon gave us three books of the Bible: Proverbs, Song of Songs, and Ecclesiastes. Each book totally different from the other. Proverbs full of sayings to impart in his wisdom. Great to read, great to be able to tell people. Song of Songs, a love story really. A love story about a man and a woman. Which is interesting, isn't it, considering he had 700 of them. And then Ecclesiastes. Vanity, what's the meaning of life and all the rest of it. Great books. Each of them are really good books. Really worthwhile having a read and studying them. But if I wonder, in closing, if the final words of Ecclesiastes are the words that Solomon wants us to remember from his story. And it goes like this. Now all has been heard, and here is the conclusion to the matter. Fear God, keep his commands, for that is the whole duty of man. And there you are, Solomon. Well, we're going to sing again.